Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
All I've got is a photograph, but boy, some of those photographs are pretty cool. Particularly if they're taken by the man who's in the studio with us now.
I feel like a fangirl. I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to meet Barry Butler, the guy behind the Facebook page I go to every morning of my life is the Barry Butler Facebook page. He is an extraordinary photographer. You make me so proud to live in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today.
I'll leave now. that is just so nice of you to say that.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yes.
And there are so many times we wind up retweeting one of your, well, the world retweets your photographs.
Pictures. Yes, yes.
Yeah, we do live in a great city, don't we?
Oh, and how we do. Social media, how it's changed our lives that you can share, as you did since Christmas. You said, I'm going to share with you Christmas images of Chicago. And they're breathtaking, but how exciting. They're right there at our fingertips.
Yeah, digging up all those shots was a little bit of a work because I went back several years just trying to get some different looks. And there was one I pulled out of 1997 when the star, you remember they used to hang a star between the antennas of the Hancock?
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yes.
I don't know why they stopped that. I thought that was one of the coolest things you could ever see. Maybe when they changed the antennas, they didn't want to do it again. But doing that was just kind of fun.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Barry is a Chicagoan. You've spent your whole life here. You come from Ireland, but you spent your life here. And
in fact, can we back up just a little bit? Yes, this is the same Barry Butler who for years would be guiding people home
in traffic.
Well, Johnny and I have
a history.
A little history, right, yes.
Yeah, I didn't mean to talk to you about
that. Wait, do you realize that's like 35 years ago?
Well, I was 18 at the time.
Were you really?
Yeah, so I got...
So was I.
Yeah, and what I used to do was I worked morning drive and afternoon drive doing traffic, and then I went to college in the middle of the day and at night.
Right, right.
It took me 5 years to graduate college. But I was able to pull it off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And you probably remember when this radio station transitioned from having policemen in the helicopter. Yeah. Nobody was in the building. They were all out on the street.
Right.
And then they brought me in, and I was the first person to bring traffic in the building. Mm-hmm. And we still had a helicopter at that time because we were over at Bradley and we had the helipad. And you flew for a long time.
Yeah. And that's actually, people are like, well, how do you know the city so well? I used to fly over it for a long time. And so I really kind of know where a lot of the spots are. Now, obviously, a lot has changed since then. And then we were up in the 94th floor of the Hancock. Mm-hmm. So talk about being spoiled
you know,
with your job every day, looking out at that view. So, and the Hancock is still my favorite building. So
But even when you were doing that from the Hancock, did you take pictures? I mean, what got you from traffic into photography?
Breaking my collarbone playing hockey.
Ah.
So this is not the way you would suggest that people make this career move, I assume?
No, there are better ways to make a transition. But, I was playing hockey, and I broke my collarbone in 1,000 places.
Ow.
And I was told, most collarbone breaks, they put pins in and so on and so forth. I didn't have that luxury. And I was told that I really couldn't do anything of any substance for about 8 months. I couldn't drive for 3 months. And so I'm like, I like being active. I like doing things. And what am I going to do? So I got myself a tripod since I had one arm to work with and started teaching myself photography. Now, that was back in the film days.
Oh.
So
and
that
big,
learning...
Heavy cameras. Those cameras with the lenses were...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, but the challenge was that I was working with film. Mm-hmm. So now you have a camera, you look at the back of it, okay, I made a mistake, I'll correct it. Back then, you didn't get, you know, the results until Photomat decided to you know, do all the processing for you. So it was an expensive way to learn.
Did you start the same way that I did, which was I started taking slide pictures because I always thought that slide quality. Film, the quality was so much better.
Yeah, I did. And it was also an area where you couldn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So if you made a mistake on a slide film, then you're done. You know, you couldn't correct it. And that's where I am today. You know, I don't spend time on the computer with my photographs. I'd rather be out shooting. Mm-hmm. So my intent is always to get it right in the camera, and that's how I learned.
That's amazing. You just took me back to my first job was working at a photo laboratory at Clark and Diversey. It was called Perfect Photo.
You probably have some good stories then.
Oh, do I ever? Because as a teenager working, you know, the night shift, where back in the day, they would go across, the pictures would, the film would go across a printer. My mother was the printer. She was very fastidious about it. She would actually work the machine so that the color was right, as opposed to just slapping it in there and, you know, hope for the best. And then I would take the pictures as they would come across the drum and go into the solvent and come out, and I would have to cut them. Well, there were certain pictures that she didn't want her kid to see. So imagine she would stand at the glass and knock on the glass and go, go on break, go on break. And I'm there, uh-oh, some good stuff is coming down the wheel. And sure enough, it was, you know, not X-rated stuff, but wild parties that she didn't want me to be exposed to, and there were pictures of these parties. And
so that was your excuse for taking so many breaks.
Yes, that's right. And in fact, she had worked it out with the boss that if she knocked on the window and I was to go on a break, it was okay. Because if you want me working there, you do not want to give her that kind of education.
Well, when did you go from learning photography and from it being an avocation to it being something that you thought, okay, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. I really dig this, and I can make some money at this.
Yeah, boy, it's a really good question, and it was really an evolution. So I used to never shoot in Chicago for the most part, you know, here and there. I love going back to Ireland, shooting there, and Grand Tetons, and you know, anywhere where there are national parks, because that's the photography I like. I like landscape, right? Yeah. And you were talking about social media, and social media kind of propelled this. So I started, if I would go out on a trip, if I knew I was going to Ireland, I would start taking shots around the city just so I was ready for my trip, you know, get my equipment going, get into a rhythm, so on and so forth. And I would post them up on my Facebook page. And people are like, hey, I like that. I'm like, well, you like that, really? No, these are just practice shots. I'm going to go do something else that's a little bit more interesting. And one of my closest friends, Nancy O'Brien, basically kicked me in the rear end and said, you should do more of this, and you should start selling these things. And I'm like, no one in their wildest dreams would like this stuff. And it just kind of went from there with social media, to be honest, and it just evolved. And all of a sudden, I'm making an income doing this. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of wild.
Going to wait for Rod Stewart to get to the hook of Every Picture Tells a Story.
Don't it? It was nice to hear a little Rod Stewart.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Con Show. I'm Johnny Putman.
I play the part of Steve King.
And we have with us in the studio this afternoon Barry Butler. And he has been called Chicago's picture poet. I love that. You've got to love that. That's your license plate. Chicago's picture poet.
Well, that was Mike Lowe from WGN-TV who gave me that label. And I don't know if I deserve that, but it was very sweet of him to do that.
You got 7 minutes of TV time.
That was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah. And I'm sure that exposed you to a whole bunch of new fans.
Yeah, because it was today or yesterday, a year ago. And mm-hmm. I had actually finished my 2018 calendar at that time. I was done, sold out.
Right.
And then that aired. And what was funny, I still remember watching it and... at the end of the piece, they said, oh, hey, and you can get Barry's calendar, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, no. And so, you know, all of a sudden started getting emails. Hey, wait, you're sold out. And I'm like, oh, I better start this back up again.
Yeah.
So another 1,000 calendars real quickly right after that. It was nuts.
Wow.
So, yeah.
We should mention your website, which is, cleverly enough, BarryButlerPhotography.com.
How did I figure that one out?
And please, before we say this... You do have 2020 calendars available?
The Chicago one was sold out as of about a week or so ago.
Really?
I do have some Ireland ones. So this year was the first year I did Ireland because I go back to Ireland often. And when I'm back there, I'm shooting. So this year I had that for sale this year, and I have a few of those left. So
I brought you
some of those.
Gorgeous. Look, Steve, we've got the Ireland calendar.
And there is this... Ireland thing that's been going through our brains for the past 6 months or so.
Yeah.
I have Irish heritage, and we want to go back to Ireland or go to Ireland. My brother's been there. I've never been to Ireland.
Oh my gosh.
But,
Time you go, Barry, let us know.
I'll be there the first week of May. And I think I'll be back again in October this year. So it's kind of easy for me to go there because everyone is back there except for my mom and my two brothers who are mm-hmm. here. And so I always have a place to stay. And Ireland is so easy to navigate. So hopefully you can get over there because it's an absolutely gorgeous country.
Well, do you sell the Ireland calendars in Ireland?
You know, it's funny. I did get orders from Ireland.
I bet.
It weren't my cousins. So they buy my prints, too. Because I have an Ireland section as well. So, I get international orders as well.
That's great. And Barry has quite a shop with his prints available. And, in fact, you brought us two prints, matted prints. And since we're on CLTV, I can hold this up. This is your favorite picture of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm showing it to you, Steve, too.
Okay, and I'm looking to see if, CLTV is,
so
is on it now.
So what is it about this picture that speaks to you? It's in the park. And I say that because some of yours are, they literally take my breath away. They're mm-hmm. so beautiful. The lighting is so special. And now I look at this, and this is... It's like a sweet side of Chicago. It's just so perfect. So what is it about the picture that speaks to you?
It basically kind of teaches me something about life. So the shot that I had set up, now I plan all my shots. I don't like show up and say, oh God, it's going to be nice mm-hmm. today.
Uh-huh.
Everything is planned. So I had that shot planned. I had about a 10-minute window for the light to be hitting the autumn leaves.
Right.
And
I got to pause you there.
Yeah.
You had the shot planned.
Mm-hmm.
How do you coordinate with the sun and the moon? And what are
you? No scaling.
Is it weather forecasts or what do you?
Yeah, I go through a lot of data.
Okay.
In order for me to do what I do. So, know where the sun is going to go, mm-hmm. And then obviously what the clouds are going to look like, and just the wind. You know, the mm-hmm. variety of things that I look at, and so. I do a lot of prep for those shots, and I knew I only had a 10-minute window for that to look that way. I had it set up, and it was a little bit of a wider shot, and the gentleman that you see on the bench decided to walk into my scene, and he was going backward and forward. I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's going to ruin my shot. Now, he had every right to be there, you know, as
sure.
I do, but I couldn't, like, say, get out of there, and I am under my breath. I am swearing up a storm. I'm like, this is not going to end well. Then he all of a sudden decided to sit down.
Right in the middle of the bench,
yeah.
Which is great.
And
perfect.
I changed my composition. The composition was a little bit wider. So I zoomed in, literally, it was one shot, boom, and then he got back up. And that was it. And so it just taught me about patience, you know, that, you know, let things play out. It's going to work out in the end. Don't get all hyped up. You know, it's not exactly how you want it, but something might good, you know, come out of it. And then that was the best thing
so
about it.
So this reminds you of that.
It reminds me, be patient. Because often when I'm out shooting, not when I'm shooting at 5:30 in the morning,
right?
But there's usually someone out there. And, you know, often people are not in my shots. And that's kind of by design because there's, you know, I don't want to invade someone's privacy. But the bottom line is here is just it's just. Teaches me about patience.
Now, but let me ask you. You say that was the one shot. Was it really one shot, or do you do what we've heard from some photographers who have told us, if you want to get a good shot, take several shots at once. And so then you go back. Of course, this has to do with people photography, and if somebody's eyes are closed, then you've got one where... But do you literally just take one shot, and that's the deal?
Sometimes, typically what I do is I set it up, and I'll take a couple of different exposures, because, you know, with... you know, you don't want to be overexposed in a certain area, so, you know, I'll do something that's a little quicker shot or a little slower shot, depending on what the conditions are. So, you know, I might take two or three shots of the same thing, and then, okay, I like that one, on to the next thing.
And this particular shot, was this taken around Fullerton Avenue?
Yeah, that was Fullerton Avenue, right.
And looking,
which has totally changed now. That that whole view is completely gone, which is really a shame.
Because you were then looking, I'm reaching over for the print, you were looking at the skyline, which is just it's spectacular from that angle. And the funny thing was, as you were talking, I literally took the print and took my fingers like I do with my phone, and I tried to enlarge the man on the bench.
You did do that.
I did this. I'm like, oh, that's right. I can't enlarge the man on the bench.